Are we ready to go? It's great to see. I didn't know it was going to be so packed today. You know, I was thinking that, oh, it's going to be a holiday weekend. We'll have fewer numbers, and I won't embarrass myself and such like. But for the people that haven't been with us before, we're certainly glad that you're here with us. You're welcome to come back anytime and join us in the beautiful singing and sharing in worship to our Lord and Savior. Spent the last week and a half kind of thinking about my subject that I had decided that I was going to do for today's lesson. I was going to do Bible character as seen through Bible characters. I thought, wow, that'll be a good topic, you know. So over the last week and a half or so, I've been thinking about the Bible characters I was going to choose. I was going to maybe use Jephthah's daughter and maybe Joseph and some Old Testament and some New Testament characters as well, and kind of see how they exhibited the character we should have as Christians. And one of those characters was a man named Ezekiel. So when it came time to put it all down on paper, I had it all right up here, you know, ready to go. I got stuck on Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel makes me feel comfortable as a speaker today, because you know, people thought he was strange as well, and so it makes me feel a little bit more at calm about what I'm about to do and bringing you this lesson of Ezekiel. But Ezekiel was both a prophet and a priest under the reign of Jehoiachin, the king. And the story of Ezekiel opens up 5 years into their captivity in Babylon. And God has called upon Ezekiel he was by the river Kabar, the canal of Kabar, with some other exiles and that had been taken into captivity. And God, he was about 30 years of age, and God calls him to take a message. As a matter of fact, he calls him to take several messages to his people. And it begins with a vision. Now, as we look in the book of Ezekiel, if you want to follow along with me in chapter 1, starting out, and turn over to Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll see that his vision that he talks about is much like the same vision that Daniel has, and the same vision that John in Revelation has. His description of what he saw, of what God looked like, has always kind of enthralled me in his description, because all three descriptions are very likely in the way that God is described as being seen through human eyes. And, you know, I have kind of developed in my mind, and I think we all develop in our mind, a vision maybe of what God looks like. But to me, God looks like this man, somewhat of a man from the waist up, and flames of fire from the waist down. And that makes me think, well, no wonder Moses came off the mountain all red, because God is fiery, you know. God is fiery. And therefore, you know, whenever I stand too close to the fire, I come away a little red myself. So I kind of get this idea of what God looks like here. We are going to start in verse 4. When I looked, if my app doesn't keep resetting. When I looked, I saw a stormy wind coming from the north. There was a great cloud with a bright light around it, and fire flashed out of it. Something that looked like glowing metal was in the center of the fire. Inside the cloud, what was in the midst was what looked like four living creatures who were shaped like humans, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like calves' hoofs, sparkling as polished bronze. The living creatures had human hands under their wings and four sides, and all four of them had faces and wings. And their wings touched each other. And the living creatures did not turn when they moved, but went straight ahead. And he goes on to continue to describe these creatures that are coming before the image of God. You know, the angels, and he describes it in great detail. The idea that I want to get at today is that God called Ezekiel to do some things that were unusual, to carry out his mission, his desire. And I'm going to relate that to the fact that God calls us to do the same thing. In chapter 2, so here's Ezekiel having this vision. He sees this creature that he can only describe as God, and these living creatures that are amongst him, these angels that have these most unusual, to our eyes anyway, look about them. And then God speaks to him in chapter 2. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I listened to the one who was speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans who have rebelled against me, the Israelites and their ancestors who have transgressed against me to this day. The children are obstinate and hard-hearted, and I am sending you to them. And you must say to them, this is what the Lord says, whether they refuse to listen or whether they do listen. For they are a rebellious house, and they will know a prophet has been among them. But you don't be afraid of them or their words. Though briars and thorns are beside you, and though you live among scorpions, don't be afraid of their words or be discouraged. But speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious." So God is giving Ezekiel his first mission as a prophet of his, is to take the words of God to the nation of rebellious Israelites. And he says that he would go before me. And so, which brings us to chapter 3, which is something that I find I wish I could do myself. He said to me in chapter 3, "Son of man, eat what you find here. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel." How many times have I thought, you know, when I was in school, man, I wish I could just eat my book and be able to know what it says. Well, Ezekiel actually gets this experience. He gets to eat the words of God, literally, and know what they say and be able to speak them. And so the message comes to him, and he goes to speak after eating those words. Why do you think that God wants Ezekiel to speak his words even though the people won't listen? Why do you think that God is sending Ezekiel on a mission that he may even feel that is going to be no good, that the response is not going to be favorable? Why do you think that? Okay, he's given him an opportunity. Very good. Anybody else? God wants everyone to hear his word. God wants the message to be out there. You know, God gives us a choice, right? He gives us free will. But if we don't know what that will is, how can we make the choice? So he is sending Ezekiel to these people, knowing that their hearts, but hoping that they will make that change. In chapter 2, verse 5, and then chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "They may listen or they may not, since they are a people who have turned against me. But they will know a prophet has been among them." And then in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, But the people of Israel will not be willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. Yes, all the people are rebellious, but go and speak to them anyway. So, Ezekiel goes to speak to the people. And he doesn't do it in a typical way that you and I would think that he would do. God wants to make a point. God is going to make a point. He tells in chapter 4, he gives this assignment to Ezekiel. Now, this is really strange. I mean, because, you know, have you ever laid down on your side and after a while, you know, your arm starts to fall asleep or you start to get cramps and you have to stretch and roll over like this? Well, God sends Ezekiel on a mission to preach his word. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the town. I want you to lay down on your left side in the street. Take enough food and provisions with you that you're going to be able to eat because you're going to be there for quite a while. And he says, I want you to lay on your left side for 390 days. One day for every year that Israel has been rebellious against me. Imagine 390 days. You're, what was it, 364 days in a year? So 390 days, that's more, according to my math figures. Is that right, Betsy? Is that close? It's over a year? Okay. He is commanded by God to lay on his left side for 390 days to make a point. And on top of all this, he tells Ezekiel, he says, well, you know, take your food with you, but you know, you're going to have to cook your food over dried up cow patties. Sounds delicious. Sounds delicious. I can just imagine Ezekiel saying, what? You want me to cook my food over what? But Ezekiel follows the will of God. He lays on his left side. And I'm sure the people are walking by him and looking at him and saying, what are you doing, Ezekiel? What are you doing laying on the ground? What are you doing cooking your food over cow pies? And Ezekiel preaches the word of God. I guess it would draw attention. Day after day after day, this guy is still laying in the same spot. You're going to want to ask him, is he crazy or not? What's he doing? What do you think you're doing, Ezekiel? So this was the way that God said, I'm laying here for every day that Israel has sinned against God. And you think after 390 days, Ezekiel goes, whew, glad that's over, you know. And all this, and God says, oh, roll over on your other side. Well, at least he gets to shift a little bit. Roll over on your right side, and I want you to lay on your right side for 40 days for the every year that Judah has sinned against me. So he flips over. People probably notice, and wow, you moved. You know, why'd you move? God told me to. He told me that you're a rebellious nation, and if you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. God went to great lengths to explain why to his people they were being punished. After he got done with that, he says, okay, now Ezekiel, take a razor and cut off your hair. Oh my. Ezekiel had been laying on his side. He's been doing what God wants. Now he wants him to shave his hair like Chris is back there. And he says, I want you to divide it into three parts. One third of it I want you to burn with fire. I'm sure that smells good if you've ever had your hair catch on fire. And he says, a third of it I want you to throw into the wind and let it be blown whichever direction to represent how God has divided his people through this captivity. I'm going to skip a little ways ahead. I mean, there are a lot more stories. If you have never read the book of Ezekiel, you need to get into the book of Ezekiel and see all the things that God has asked Ezekiel to do and see how faithful Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was a lot like Moses during his day. I mean, Noah during his day. Noah was found as righteous amongst the thorns, amongst people who were rebellious. Ezekiel is the same way. He's found by God to be righteous in the face of all the people that were rebellious. And he stood up for what God wanted him to do. Chapter 37, and I'm going to get David to help me here for just a second. Chapter 37 is the story of Ezekiel being commanded to go to a valley. And I'm going to show a short video and then talk about it.
Showtime?
It's not Showtime. Okay. Excuse me while I connect. There it goes. We've got high-speed Wi-Fi right here. Okay, I'm going to let it load while I talk. Ezekiel is taken to this valley, and he looked, and it has a great valley, a great expanse, and he's looking across the valley. He sees no life, but just piles of dead men's bones. Now, in my choir, we've been known to sing a song called "The Ankle Bone Connects to the Knee Bone, the Knee Bone Connects to the Hip Bone." And that, now hear the word of the Lord. That is taken from the story from Ezekiel, and he says, "I want you to preach to these bones. I want you to let them speak. I want you to speak to them. I want you to command them to come together." And let's see if it's any better. There is supposed to be sound.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise.
It's just slow. We're going to go ahead and move on. Go ahead and mute that. Anyway, so he tells him, can these bones come live again? Such a strange question. Can these bones live again? And he says, only you know. You're the only one that knows, God. Can these bones live again? God says, I will put breath into them. And they will come together. There will be tendons, and the bones will come together, and the flesh will come up on the bones. And as you preach to them, these bones will come together. And Ezekiel said, yes, Lord. He began to speak. He began to preach to these bones. And it says, you could hear the rattle of the bones, and the bones started to come together, and they began to form out of these dry, broken bones, an army of people. An army of people. What is the significance of this story? We too, like Ezekiel, are asked by God to go into the world to do some strange things, to talk to people when it's uncomfortable, to tell them God's will for them. And like Ezekiel, I think that he tells Ezekiel, if you do not preach to them, then the fate that they're going to undertake as being rebellious and not turning to God is going to fall upon you. If you do not take this opportunity, he talks about that in chapter 3 and chapter 4. It says, if you choose not to speak to these people and tell them who I am and tell them to turn away from what they're doing, then then they will not hear my message, and you will suffer their fate as well. I think that applies to us. I think God tells us to go into the world and to preach the gospel and to let the world know that there is a God and that they are a rebellious nation and that God wants them to come to him to be his children. And as Ezekiel formed this army by preaching to them in the desert, in the valley, God is calling us to create an army of his people. But the army will not come if they don't hear, if they don't get the message, if we don't preach to them, if we don't speak to them. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and I'm going to summarize this. It says three main ideas under the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought to us. It says we are to belong to God. We are to be his people. We are to be under his ownership. We are to submit ourselves to God and God's will. The second thing in Ephesians 4:1 it talks about is we need to live a holy life. Not just to say with our words that we belong to God, but we have to live it. We have to stand up and be counted among God's people, even in the face of danger. I know there's been a lot of discussion going around about, refugees and things like that coming to our country, and what would you do, what would you do, what would you do? What would God do? What would Jesus have done? Would Jesus have put himself in danger to make sure the word of his Father was told? I think he would. I think he would put himself in the face of danger in order that the message of his Father is heard. So as part of living this holy life that it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, it is standing up in the face of danger. And then finally, the third point that it makes is to serve God's purpose in the world. To serve God's purpose in the world. Regardless of the world and what the world says we should do, how we should be, and what we should think, our only purpose is to serve God. His will be done. To live our lives for Him, to sacrifice our will to His. Because we have chosen God as our Father. We are now a part of God's community, and this world is not. So when James read that little thing that he had at the beginning, it talked a lot about this, about not serving what the world says is okay for us, but to serve what God says is okay for us. Ezekiel was taken into captivity like everybody else. Ezekiel was asked to do a lot of things that we would consider really strange. You know, I think about going down the road and I see somebody, you know, the world is coming to an end. You know, there are signs that the world is coming to an end. You know, repent and save yourselves. You know, sometimes we want to make fun of that person. You know, oh, they're a Bible banger. They're a biblical nut. You know, maybe they know something. Maybe they're the Ezekiel of the day. Maybe they're not, but maybe they are. I'm not their judge. God is their judge. All I need to preach the word of God and try to form an effective army of dead men's bones and bring them to life. Because that's the final part of that story. Those dead bones came back to life. We are to take the message of God into the world and try to resurrect a dead world. In every way that we can as his servants, in the face of whatever dangers come our way, we need to stand up and let his will be known to the world. And in doing that, we are serving God. We are his people. And he has made a promise to us that one day we can live with him. One day we can see him. One day we can be a part of his kingdom. As Christians, we are a part of the kingdom. But we're not in heaven yet. So while we live in this world, we have to be an example of his kingdom. We have to tell it to the people that we see and not be embarrassed and not be ashamed, even though we're laying on our sides for 390 days. It doesn't matter what we look like or what we sound like. What matters is do we preach the word? Do we teach others the will of God? If you would like to come forward after, as we sing in the song, and there's something in your life that just isn't right, something that you've been struggling with, or maybe you want to just say, I want to really get the prayers of the congregation here, the prayers of the faithful, that I might be a stronger person. Then, or if you have never been baptized, we have the ability to baptize you into the kingdom of God through your repentance, through your confession, through your proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is the Father. And we can do that for you. If you have any of those needs, if you'll come as we sing, we will help you with those. Let's sing.